Our Father, as we pray unto you, there is so much inadequacy that we see within ourselves. There's so much inability to bring you the proper praise. But you say that when you save us, that you will make us able to praise you, and that we will be unto the praise of the glory of your grace. Just your displaying us like a precious jewel, even like we are the pearl of great price, our redemption, our love for you, our cleanness, our praising you in holiness, our being delivered from hell's pit, our being brought up into everlasting glory. It will all praise you. It will be because of you. Everyone will know that you have done it and you did it all. So we pray, Father, that you would, that you give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that you give us the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you let us to see him, that we may honor him, that we may love him forever, that we may be about our Father's business. Lord God, you are our master, and you rule over us. We ask you to rule with gentleness, with meekness, with lowliness, with the condescension that's in Christ, that you would come down and you would gently lead those that are with you, and you would carry us in your bosom. Father, I don't want to run as if I have strength. I want to be carried by you in the preaching of your gospel. Carry those who are weak and with young, who cannot make it, and we cannot, Father. I don't have the strength. I don't have the ability. But you do have the power. Let these people see our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us never just multiply words unto no avail. But give us Christ and the gospel and the people whom we're praying for, who are in our hearts very secretly. Lord, help them. You are the only hope they have, and we cannot earn your blessing. We pray unto you. This is the means you've appointed through the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, for his name's sake, forever. Amen. Good evening, my brethren. I want to bring you another message that's on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the title is Praise the Lord. And it's taken from the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 33, and verse number 10 through 11. I don't know as to how many more days I'll still be preaching these messages. I have a book I need to get to. But for however many days, is I want to keep preaching, and I want to keep bringing you the gospel of his glory, and to and to help you understand how to look to Christ in all the scriptures and get power, because the gospel is for the glory of the blessed God. It's for praises to erupt from our heart that he's put there by saving our everlasting soul. And so the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 33, verse number 10 through 11. This is what the Lord says. In this place, which you say is a ruin without man or beast, that is in Judah's cities and Jerusalem's streets, that are a desolation without man. They've been destroyed for their rebellion. Without inhabitant and without beast, there will be heard again. This is the promise of Almighty God. A sound of joy and gladness. The voice of the groom, this is a voice of happiness, and the bride. And the voice of those saying, and here is our subject, praise the Lord of hosts. For the Lord is good. His faithful love endures forever. As they bring thank offerings to the temple of the Lord, for he says, I will restore the fortunes or the captives of the land as in the former days, says the Lord. Praise the Lord of hosts. That's what salvation's for. Thank you for tuning in. I see you there, Schizo. But salvation is unto the glory of God. It is not unto the glory of man. It's not something that me and you, I cooperate with God. If that was the case, then I would get glory, and I'd have to pat myself on the back. It isn't like when me and you were playing ball, and we did our training, and we had our coach, and we had our parents, and we had the fans in the stands. So all of us are all working together. No, salvation is the long arm of God. He's going down into the ditch of our sin. He's picking us up. He's pulling us up. He's lifting us up, and it's for his glory alone. Because he does all of the work. If I will and do according unto his good pleasure, it's because he put that into my heart by irresistible grace. Every good thing that comes from us comes from God. And that's this first point, is that salvation is the Lord's work. That's what makes us praise him. That's what makes this actual giving of thanks. It is something real. It isn't fake. It's not forced. It's a praise that comes from the heart through the Holy Spirit as our eyes are upon our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 10. Even if I'm laboring, even if I'm preaching, even if I'm striving more than some other person, it is not for the glory of the man. He calls it's not that man, it's God. And if God had left that man with just one thing himself, man would get glory. It'd be taken from God. I'd have a reason to boast. And it would never be the gospel of God's glory. And the gospel is unto the glory of the blessed God. He shall be praised in heaven. And he is praised now from the heart of all of his true, his people praise him. So don't look unto man. As you learn from man, is you understand that he or she helps me, but their grace, it came from God 100% all of the time. And so Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 15:10, but by God's grace, not by my free will. My actual will is bound. It's in corruption. And I'm in the dust, even as a believer. The things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. I must look away from myself, helpless in myself, to the redemption that's in Christ, that the Spirit might come work in my heart with power. And therefore, it is grace. It's not the will of man. It's the grace of God that unlocks our will so that me and you can run free after His commandments. It's by God's grace I am what I am. And Paul was a great man. And His grace toward me, it was not ineffective. It was not powerless. It was not empty grace. It was not in word only. When God says that we're going to praise Him, it's because He saved us for real. There is no hypocrisy in the gospel. I remember I asked a woman one time, and this particular woman was loose, and she had a reputation. And I asked her, just as we were passing by each other on campus, as to how are you doing? And she said, blast, blast. And I thought, even as I cringe now, that's not the blessing of God. The blessing of God makes a man holy. The grace of God makes a man serve our Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul said, it's not I, it's not my free will, it's not my strength, it's the grace of God that was operating in me. And when He saved me and opened my eyes and gave me the power of the Spirit, however, I did work more abundantly than them all. It changed me. It let me loose. It let me operate in grace. It let me live unto God's glory. Yet not I. It wasn't I who did this. Man's not to be praised. But God's grace that was with me. It was 100% God. And when you and I come to understand that from our heart, and that's where we must understand it, my brothers and sisters, then we praise God. And that's the promise of the text. It's not just lip. It's not just hallelujah on Sunday. It's from the deepness of the conscience. You know, this is not me. I've seen me. I've tried me. I tried this myself. No man can serve God. No man's holy enough. No man's good enough. No man has the power to overcome the devil and the flesh. It's impossible. It's always grace. 100%. And if we keep our eye on that, our hearts will praise His glory. And we'll love Him by a power that me and you do not have, but He gives to us. And He gives us constantly. And He replenishes our soul. He restores our soul. In Colossians 1, verse number 29, Paul puts it like this. I labor for this preaching of Christ, that I may present each and everybody perfect in Christ Jesus, this wisdom of the gospel, this Christ whom we are proclaiming, warning and teaching everyone in all wisdom. I labor for this, striving. I am active. I get to work, he says. But it's with His strength, the power I have to preach, the power I have to walk uprightly, the power I have to be a missionary. This is His strength. And it's for us, as we look to Jesus Christ as a nothing, as a nobody, as helpless, as a sinner. It's the only way the power comes. The text from the book of Jeremiah 33 says that me and you were in bondage, in chastisement. And then he comes and he saves us. He restores our joy. Then we praise God because he's set us free from our captivity. It's not our willpower. It's not our goodness. It's not our strength. It's not our trying hard. It's not our morality. I used to work hard as an athlete. I had more zeal. But in religious matters, in spiritual matters, no man has it. And every man, everybody that puts confidence in ourselves is really in the flesh. And we're dishonoring God, even if we praise him with our lips. It was Christ who was giving me the strength. It was God in Jesus Christ, this strength, this power that works powerfully in me. And so there is a power to do the will of God. There is a power to serve God for the most helpless sinner on this planet. For that child of God who knows that we're nothing, you will be amazed at the strength that God gives you. And you're praising him, it will be real. This brings me to point two, is the joy is real. Let's go back into the text of Book of Jeremiah, chapter number 33, verse number 10 and 11. This is what the Lord says: in this place, which you say is a ruin, it's been filled with sin, it's been overcome by the devil, it's been lying, it's been thieving, it's been in adultery, it's been in pornography, it's been in hatred. It's been in hatred towards its neighbor. It has run away from God. It has been chastised by God. It has no peace. It has no strength. It has no clean conscience. It has trouble on the inside and trouble on the outside. It's in a ruin. And without man or beast, it's just totally desolate. It's been destroyed. That is, in Judah's cities, in Jerusalem streets, the promised people, the promised inheritance, the elect, that are a desolation without man, without inhabitant, and without beast, just totally helpless, totally unworthy, totally broken, there will be heard again a sound of joy and gladness. I'm thinking about Paul. And he's on the road to Damascus to kill Christians. He has no worthiness. He has no reason for God to bless him. He ought to be in hell for it. He's persecuted the people of God. And he's gone in the wrong way. And I weep because I see myself. Don't you see yourself? Me and you are going in the wrong direction. And we were against God. And we hated him. We despised him. And we lived, even some of us, as we lived ungodly, even after we heard the gospel. And we turned away. But when the Lord Jesus Christ came to meet us, instead of sending us to hell, instead of punishing us for our sin, instead of exposing us in our hypocrisy, the Apostle Paul said in verse number 15, I said, who are you, Lord? I have no idea. And the Lord, he replied, I am Jesus, the one that you are persecuting. But get up and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose. I haven't come to destroy you. I haven't come to cast you into hell. I haven't come to make you pay for your sin. I died for you. I gave you a promise of grace from the foundation of the world. I blessed you in the covenant. I loved you when you did not even love me. And when you could not, when you were helpless, when you were hateful towards God and you ought to be condemned. And I've appeared for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant, to make you able to serve me and a witness of what you've seen of my glory, of the forgiveness of sins, of hope in the gospel, of power over sin, of peace with God, of the blessings of the covenant, of eternal bliss promised to you, of hope, of peace, of joy with God, and of what I will reveal to you. I'll keep showing you my glory. I'll put you in trial after trial, after situation after situation. And as the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 1, verse number 9, indeed, it's because he keeps us slow. He doesn't only make us slow to save us, he keeps us crushed and humbled and nothing, so he can use us. Indeed, Paul says that we personally had a sentence of death within ourselves. I knew I was helpless. I couldn't make it. So that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises up the dead. And we see his glory again and again and again. Isn't that what prayer is? Isn't it going unto God in all honesty, in my need, in my inability to do what I need done, and then having God answer? And if we're really preaching, our hearts know that we are nothing, that we can do nothing, and that it's him, and he gets the glory alone. I'm telling you, brethren, in point two, the joy is real. It's not fake. It's not phony. It's the singing of praises. And that leads us into point three. Let's praise him with all of our might. It's that verse in the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 33. And I'm not humbled, but I've been humbled. Verse number 11 says, a sound of joy and gladness, the voice of the groom, the bride. There is going to be happiness in a place where a soul was destroyed and broken and bowed down and crushed and oppressed by the devil, slaved of sin, full of shame and guilt and helplessness. And the voice of those saying, praise the Lord of hosts. Bless God. That's what Paul says in Ephesians 1:3. Bless God. He blessed us. That's what Peter says in 1 Peter 1:3. Bless God. He hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection. The soul, our souls are going to bless God from our guts. It's going to be so authentic and so real. And so I'm exhorting you, brethren. I'm commanding you by the word of the Lord to join into this praise of the Lord of hosts. Let's be bold with our gospel. I heard a sermon while I flipped through it. A person had sent me the link. And I knew the man is not a preacher of the gospel. And he said some nice things. But it had no articulation of the clear truth of God. It had no love of his sovereignty. It had no deep conviction of sin. It had no real atonement. It was just, I'm going to turn over a brand new leaf. Our gospel, brothers, let's not be cowards. Let's not hide it. If we know it, let's not try to slip it up on people. Let's obey what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number, I'm thinking it's in verse number 12. Therefore, having such hope in the gospel, in the new covenant, in the forgiveness of sins, in the grace that's in our Lord Jesus Christ, we use, Paul says, great boldness. We tell this gospel to die for. There's no sense holding back. Not when he saved our soul. Not when it gives us such joy. Not when he's worthy of all praise and honor. And I'm not saying that you have to go street preach up in northern Nigeria. I've been places I would not recommend you street preaching. But if you are going to preach, you be bold for the gospel, whether it's in a building, in a chapel, in a school, with your parents. And you might not have an open door all the time. And it might take you a year of praying before your dad sits down and says, what are you talking about? And then you have a chance to bear witness. But let's be plain about this gospel. Let's praise him. Let's give him the glory. And part of giving him glory, it is prayer. Prayer is an admitting of our helplessness, a coming to him in our need. And it's really giving him the glory as the one who hears us and will answer, and praises will come up from our heart because of him. As we're bold in speech, as we're bold in our witness, as we're bold in our life, because me and you, my brothers and my sisters, are going to praise God forever. And here's as to what I mean by that. Yes, with our mouths, praise and hallelujah, after I'm perfected with you in the gospel promise in heaven's bliss. But yes, also just our being there. If an onlooker, if an angel or some created being in the eons of time, he takes a look at Christ. And then he takes a look at us because he's the head of the body and we are one with him. And without us, he's incomplete. And he sees us in Christ and sees that we have been redeemed from that place where the smoke is still ascending up from the furnace of hell. And when he sees our holiness, our happiness, that's what made the Queen of Sheba to lose all strength. She saw Solomon's splendor. She heard his wisdom. And then she looked at his servants, how they were dressed, how they were happy, how they were well ordered. And when we get to heaven, to actually see us praising God is going to praise God, because everybody's going to know that he did it. And that's why salvation is a gift. It's not an offer. It is offered, but salvation is a gift. And it's hard for us to reconcile this in our mind because there's no human example. You and I can lead a horse to water, but we cannot make it drink. You can shower love upon a woman. A particular woman can humble herself and be the best in submission unto a man, and he still not want her. You can buy a person an expensive gift and they still hate you for it. But when God gives the gift of salvation, he puts it in the heart. If a man is going to rescue a little child that's been taken captive, and he says, I'm going to save her, I'm going to bring her back, if anything fails, he hasn't done his job. He's failed. He has not succeeded. And when God says he's going to save us, he's not talking about a possibility. He's not talking about an offer. He's not talking about a gift that man can accept or reject. He's talking about changing your will. He's talking about putting the fear of God in your heart. He's talking about him making you want Christ more than your next breath. He's talking about taking away everything you have in your heart and mind until give me Jesus or I die. He's talking about making you accept him, making you love him, making us repent. He's doing the work. He's not just trying. And that's what brings him the glory. That's what makes us love him. That's what brings us to praise him. And brothers, oh, once we get to heaven's bliss, it will fulfill Ephesians chapter 1. Unto the praise of the glory of his grace. So let's praise him from our heart by depending on him, by believing on him, and by proclaiming his greatness for his name's sake. Amen. Have you come to Christ? Come to him. Why not? Why not come when he is so gracious to forgive a sinner? Amen. I've been there.